CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs. A very nice conversation before the break about youth unemployment and how it's so much more than just education, but education really is one of the keys to breaking the poverty cycle, but there is a little bit more.
And I love the fact that they're always looking for solutions. We are a solution-based show. Future CEOs is about finding solutions.
And one of the things that we're going to be doing or talking about now is how to make more money in 2017 by focusing on the right areas in the right places. If you're going to build a business, you're going to start a business, if you're about to embark on that journey, well, then this is the right conversation to be listening to. Why? Because we've got one of our dear friends, Chris Dubertus. Welcome back into studio. It's good to have you here. And he's going to be telling us how or giving us some direction on what industries to go into, what markets to look at, and then also a little bit of advice to all of you entrepreneurs who are looking to push into these areas. Christy, welcome.
Yes, it's wonderful to see you again and to be on your show.
2016 was rough and tough and brutal for so many people and businesses. Can we still have a sense of 2017 can hold ripe opportunities for the astute entrepreneur? Is there hope?
There's always hope. You know, entrepreneurs, they make a plan.
Yeah.
No matter how dark the clouds are outside there, there's always a silver lining. And I definitely think 2017 is going to be better than 2016, so better opportunities for entrepreneurs. And most definitely, so the growth rate would be better, so the people would be able to spend more, etc., etc. But entrepreneurs, well, where's the opportunities? And I think that's the thing. They must be able to suss it out.
Just very, very quickly, just as a point of credibility, because we know who you are and we love having you back here, but just tell everyone where you're from, what you guys do, and that really will tell us or tell our audience.
Should we listen to you or not?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Is this the man to listen to?
Yeah.
Could you just a little bit of background, business partners and your involvement there, please?
Yeah, Business Partners is a company that's funding small and medium enterprises and doing value-added services together with it. And we're also in providing space for small businesses.
Mm.
And, yeah, I've been around with the company for 31 years.
Sure.
And the company has been around for 36 years. And it was started by the Rupert family and in 1981. And here I am. I can say, well, I'm still pumping small and medium enterprises.
And you guys really do know your stuff. You do have an incredible history. Let's go into this conversation. A talking point that we have here is, of course, in South Africa, there are traditional areas that we can go into, then there's non-traditional. Of air, you were talking about an acronym, which was TICE, right? TICE, T-I-C-E.
Yes?
So let's talk traditional industries, let's talk non-traditional, where's the growth opportunity there, and then let's talk to this point, TICE, that you were speaking to, this acronym, please.
Good. Well, traditional businesses is obviously the ones that were hurt quite badly in 2016 was mm-hmm. most definitely the agricultural sector,
mm-hmm.
and because of that, the rural parts of our country really suffered because there was a lot of people that was laid off on the farms. They just moved into town and they didn't have spending power at all. They had to be taken care of. So even the businesses in the towns was depressed, you know, just normal trading businesses, service industries and so on. So the agricultural sector had a tremendous effect on our economy and on business, small businesses in the rural parts, but also in the cities, because obviously those produce comes to the cities and it's consumed here, and here the prices of food, as we know, it is quite high.
Yeah, basic economics, supply and demand.
Yep. Yes, exactly. So that's the one industry that battled in 2016, mm. and then the second one was the mining industry because of the drop in commodity prices.
Yep. Mm.
But I think there's now something positive happening. Commodity prices is doing much better. And at least we've seem to have seen the bottom end. Mm. And in some cases it went up quite a bit. So they are starting to be active again.
They're starting
to employ. I think last week, Friday, the manufacture, at least the mining figures came out, and it's showing positive. And then also agriculture, we know that there's summer rains, and we hope there's follow-up rains.
Yeah.
But at this stage, it seems as if there's going to be a significant better crop than last year.
Mm.
So that would activate the sleeping businesses in
a revival
in the rural parts and the re-employment, etc., etc.
Mm. It's such a good motivator, you know. All these drives to save water. It's that little thing has a knock-on effect to the entire economy. It's a remarkable thing to consider how everything's linked.
But now you think of the ripple effect, you know. Now suddenly the mines are starting to work. There's machines working, there's people working, they earn money, they can start to spend again, etc. But those machines that's working needs to be maintained. So engineering businesses, hydraulics, etc., those businesses, that's, you know, if you look at the East Rand, for instance, that's the engineering hub of this country.
Yep.
Well, they're going to be active again, positive, you know. So that's the traditional industries. And then obviously with normal consumer spending, the spa at the corner and the service station and the butcher and even the gym would be active again, and the people would be able to pay the school fees and all those things. So it's a ripple effect, and I think we would see some positive economic growth, not to the extent that the president has said 2.9, but maybe in the middle, 1.6, around about.
Which is still a significant amount of growth, certainly based on last year's, the way we performed last year. Let's go non-traditional. What are your thoughts there?
Well, before I get to Tice, keep the people in suspense, our listeners.
Yes.
But, you know, most definitely, at least education. There's a few things happening there.
Tell us about that.
And if you look at how many private schools, you know, that's now primary and secondary and tertiary type of institutions is opening up, it's positive. And where's the equilibrium?
Mm.
Now, most definitely, if you look at across the world, for instance, America, about 10% of their schools are private. So here in South Africa, we've got 26,000 schools. So there's a potential for about 2,600 private schools.
Do you know what the number is currently?
1,600.
1,600. Okay, so there's room to grow, then.
Room for 1,000 new schools. Mm. Now, you can't, by the flick of the finger, get another 1,000 schools, but over the next few years, there's ample growth opportunities in that industry, and and positively, because like Spark Schools, as an example, they can bring it to you at the same price as what
a public school is
demanding from the parents. You know?
I really like the fact that you would benchmark off an economy like the US, because it's in certain ways we're not comparable, but in many other ways, certainly education sector, we definitely are or can be. Are there other areas in the non-traditional?
Do you want to say anything more about education? We love education on the show.
Sure.
Well,
let's carry on with education a little bit.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, a very positive thing is there's about 450,000 beds necessary for tertiary students.
Mm.
Good point.
And the traditional hostels of the universities can only supply about 100,000 beds.
Mm.
So there's 350,000 beds that's needed to be provided by the private sector. They've already gone a long way in providing that. There's even factories and stuff converted into very, very decent student accommodation and office blocks, etc., etc. But if you go down the road in Cape Town, in Woodstock, Salt River, Observatory, those areas, and if you go up in Braamfontein and even West Dean and those areas, and in Pretoria, they're very, very much the same. There's a lot of student accommodation, private sector. So that's another opportunity and waiting to be taken.
And on just on the back of that, if you are just looking at it from an opportunity perspective, on the basis of this idea that people are in hostels and they have to go home every now and then, our friend Nolo, his business, and I forget what it's called, I may hash it, but I think it's Storage Wars. It's very similar to what you might see on TV. They've developed a business around this idea that students have to live somewhere and then store their stuff when they go home. So there's another opportunity,
that's
another
so
business.
Smart.
Yeah, exactly. That's so smart. And we really must be quite.
Think out of the box.
Well, we have to solve problems in each of these areas.
And think out of the box.
Are there other non-traditional areas that you'd like to highlight?
No, just tourism, I think, is definitely on the uptick, and it's very positive. Yeah, I went around town and Cape Town even and so on. It is
pumping.
It's really. And the people around us, they're courteous, they're friendly, they're accommodating. So we mustn't get despondent that there's, you know, there's a small percentage of people that really don't understand the importance of tourism. I think, by and large, we all become more friendly and we embrace tourism and we want the people to be here. So foreign tourism to us, that's definitely on the uptick, but also local tourism.
It's unbelievable.
And business tourism is also really growing very well. So, but now I come to Thais.
Okay, yes. Tell us what Thais is.
Drum roll.
You know, that's now technology, information, communication, and entertainment. Now, those four often has been seen as separate industries. Technology, you know, what is the new thing on the table, you know, that was invented and bring technology closer to me. But now, technology, communication, information, and entertainment is in the palm of your hand.
Good point.
So there's many opportunities for that, but the more intense those things become, the more demanding it becomes. Like, for instance, you want bandwidth, you want speed, you want everything. So now fiber optics is seeing the light in South Africa.
Right.
our suburbs are being dug up, and it's fiber optics going all over the place, and Telkom with their LTE masts with people with Wi-Fi connections, high-speed Wi-Fi connections, and now the service providers, those people that's putting in the infrastructure, there's excellent opportunities for them because they need to speed up this rollout project, this rollout of fiber optics to get to critical mass. And then also the service providers that's signing you up. And then obviously now the technology that you already have needs to be upgraded to handle those types of speed and that you can entertain yourself and get entertainment connected through communication and everything all over the world. And you play a game with somebody that's sitting in Moscow.
Now I've got a buddy that's moved to the UK, and before he moved, when we were much younger, we used to play PlayStation. And now we can still do the same thing if we decide to do it. We don't do it anymore. But yeah, exactly that. The world has become quite small. And as you've rightly said, it's in the palm of our hand, which is incredible. It's an incredible opportunity.
Good.
You're smiling, Chloe.
entertainment, how does entertainment fill in with this merge of telecommunication and accessibility and all of the TICE stuff? Tell us about the information.
And
entertainment.
I'm going to interrupt here because we were talking about TICE off air, and what people don't understand is when Christy mentioned entertainment as the final thing, Luby got up and started dancing. So this is my
vibe.
This is your place.
I really need to know how to make money. Tell us how it all fits in with TICE, the entertainment aspect.
Well,
Crystal?
We've got conferences that's happening all over the world simultaneously with one speaker, because the person is standing somewhere in Johannesburg, but he's through video conferencing and, you know, like immediate, you can see him all over the show.
Mm.
He can engage with all the spectators all over
the globe.
Or the globe. But he can physically engage, not touch them like I can touch you. Yes. But in another way, you can engage. You can see the person, you know. So in other words, it's not only voice, it's not just information, it is really picking up the vibe, you know, except the warmth of the hand, you know, that you can't feel, but you can see the reaction of the people, how they appreciate that. So, and that's for any kind of show that, you know, we can fill up the F&B stadium and we can have a top artist. But that artist can at the same time do exactly that same thing in Cape Town, in Durban, for that matter, in New York and wherever.
Yeah, it's incredible. I was watching a show. I can't think of who. It was one of these late night hosts in America, and they were standing on a stage, and someone appeared next to them, and it was a hologram. It was someone who, and they could interact with him.
Unbelievable.
There was no touch, but there was real interaction.
Well, the virtual reality aspect of, you know, the future. That's where it's at.
I've got another story on virtual reality.
What?
No, just watching you with a video and how you looking around and looking a little bit dazed by all of it.
Yeah.
But it is. It's incredible.
And you know what? It might not be very much 6th century, but it's very much high touch and high impact.
Look, if you did look at the
–
there was the CES 2017 just the other day, and they are including this extra sensory element to their virtual reality and these digital entertainment platforms.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get shot playing a game,
yeah,
you feel it. It's there. So we're very much moving in that direction.
Quickly.
I guess the point of us saying that is that that's another business opportunity. Again,
exactly.
We build this chain. Mm. If you just take one thing, which is a game, how many different businesses can fit around this game to either support it or to drive it? And we must look at everything as micro economies, really, because that's how it works. The lights have to go on. The lights have to be replaced. The carpeting has to go down. The carpets have to be replaced, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And, I mean, think of your phone with an app, and now you want to download a movie, you know. Well, with the speed of lightning, you can download a full-sized movie, you know.
I know.
Because of fiber optics and all those things. So,
I know. So
you can buy it wherever, from wherever, and download it, and there, Bob's your uncle, there it is. Sometimes even in another way.
Advice.
Yes, let's go to advice. I think because things are moving so very quickly, and we did speak about this a little bit last week when we spoke to a business coach, and he said we need to not lose focus. With all these trends and things that are coming in, we must stay focused, and he gave three questions that we can use to stay focused. Now, we won't mention it here. Everyone must go download the podcast to hear what those questions are. But this It can be very distracting. It can be very disjointed. How do we know where to go and what to do? What is your advice?
Well, I think stick to your knitting. In other words, if you are really good at a thing, rather refine that.
I believe that.
And find your niche there.
I believe that.
But don't just dream about it. Live your dream. In other words, go out, do it, be the first mover, you know, because if you're just following others, well, they've made their first profits and they are a few steps ahead of you. So you rather find that space where you feel comfortable with and then you go for it.
I love that.
But then also find your support structures and speak around. Speak to the experienced people. I mean, if I must go on a radio show, I will ask you for advice.
You know, better.
How to, you know, how to
put it all together.
Put it all together,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And to be short, succinct, and to the point, and get the message across. So the same applies to a business. So ask mentors, people that has already gone the full hog. Maybe in another industry, maybe in the same industry, but not so sophisticated. But at least they can tell you what lessons have they learned. And you, your learning curve could be much, much shorter and smaller because of their experience that they share with you. And there's many people that would love to share it with our young people. And, well, I'm one of those, you know. I've seen about, well, the company I funded over 70,000 businesses. And we've got a database of businesses that we funded, and we know how they performed, you know. And I can't say I've done it, but at least...
They couldn't have done it without you.
Well,
we say that.
I can at least tell the person, but listen, this is pitfalls.
Yeah.
But this will work, you know. And that's not the only advice. Then he can ask another guy and another guy and then make up his mind and move on, you know. So, but be the first mover. Don't let your dream go wasted. Live it.
In your words, let me quote, because I'm just putting what you just said into concise and clear, valuable skills and tools for our future CEOs, and this is your quote: do your due diligence, but don't wait around for someone else to make the first move. Business conditions would likely to get tougher as the industries become more crowded. And that's your words.
Now I understand why you're in that position.
And you did. You sounded so good, didn't
did
you?
I? Wow. Did I?
Excellent.
Those are your words. Those are your words.
Well, I haven't said it the same way, but you've summed it up so well.
And on that note, we're going to have to wrap it up because we have run out of time. It's been a very informative conversation, as it usually is.
As it always is.
So, Christy, thank you very much for coming into studio again. I think just one thing from me, if I may.
Yes, my love.
I saw something come through from an just via email, and they were speaking about the rise of the gig economy and these different things that come from that. And I just... going back to our point from our first conversation, which is this idea of youth unemployment and why things are happening and how many of them want to be entrepreneurs, and some of them just they have got unrealistic goals. So let's just, when you start a business, don't be unrealistic about it. Just find a real opportunity, supply to that, and then grow organically. Grow by growing your customer base, not trying to force anything. If I may add that, is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Love it.
Okay, wonderful.
Great.
Well, thank you very much for being here. Just very quickly, business partners, what's the web address if they want to look you guys up? Because you've also got some tools and information there.
Businesspartners.co.za.
Easy peasy.
Easy as that. All right. We'll see you all same time, same place next week. We hope that you have a great rest of your week. And, you know, just go out and, what's the right word? Prosper.
Thrive.
See you next week.
Bye-bye now.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.